Well, I believe that God has been honored today. Don't you think so? He's been exalted today. Appreciate the good thoughts that have been shared with us this morning from in the observance of the Lord's Supper and the songs and the prayers that we've sung. It's been a beautiful day to be worshiping God. I want to continue with those thoughts this morning to honor God and to reverence God. We talked last week about reverencing God in worship. And so one of the couple of the passages that we looked at were about the worthiness of God, how God is worthy, Jesus is worthy. Revelation 4, Revelation 5 uses those phrases that God is worthy because he is the creator, and Jesus is worthy because of the blood that he shed. He is the Lamb of God. He's worthy of all praise and reverence and respect for what they've done. And so the idea of worthiness came up today, or not today, this week, between Joey and I. We had a spirited discussion, otherwise known as an argument. Now, we had a spirited discussion about worthiness. And what Joey was bringing to me was his class on Psalms. And it's been such, I'll just do it as an aside, just talk a little bit about how fortunate I am to have him in my home this summer, and us having the opportunity to discuss the scriptures all the time. And he's bringing to me his thoughts, he's bringing to me his classes, he brings to me his outlines, and we discuss them. And it's just been a great blessing to do that. Well, he's teaching a class to the high school kids on the Psalms. And so this week he was looking at Psalm 24, and we were talking about that. He brought some ideas to me. And it says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord and who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. He will receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. And so Joey was sharing with me the idea that he wanted to encourage us, the kids in high school class, to be worthy of standing in the presence of God, to have clean hands and a pure heart, and to be worthy of being in the presence of God. And my immediate thought when I heard that was to object to it. We're not worthy. We never will be worthy to stand in the presence of God. There's nothing that I could ever do that would make me worthy to stand in the presence of God. So I objected. You know, now I got a problem with that, Joe. I don't think that's the right way to handle this. So he argued back with me about that. And when we were done, I had learned something. And I want to share that with you this morning. The Bible tells us to walk worthy of the Lord. It tells us to walk worthy of God. It tells us to walk worthy of the gospel. It tells us to walk worthy of our calling. Justin this morning even mentioned twice in each prayer that he gave over the bread and the fruit of the vine, let us do this in a worthy manner. And so let's talk about this idea of worthiness. And so we came up with a title to this sermon, Worthy to be Made Worthy. And I think that captures the idea that I want us to focus in on this morning. There's no way that we're going to be worthy before God on our own. But can we be worthy, or must we be worthy to be made worthy by God? So let's look at a few scriptures together. Revelation 5 and verse 4 uses the word worthy. And in this praise scene, John is weeping loudly because no one is found worthy to open the scroll or to look into it. But the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Lamb of God, he is found worthy. So stop weeping, John, because he has overcome, the angel says. And he is worthy to open the scroll and look into it. And that scroll, I believe, it's sealed by seven seals, and ultimately the final seal, when it's open, results in the kingdom of God being established. He's worthy. He established the kingdom. He is the King who made it possible by his death, burial, and resurrection for the kingdom of God, for us to be in the kingdom of God. So stop weeping, John. The Lamb is worthy to open the scroll. Romans 1 and verse 32 came to my mind also because it uses the word worthy there. And in this context, it's talking about you and me. It's listing all of these sins that men are guilty of. Later on in Romans 3, Paul will say there's none righteous, not even one. Not even one who is righteous. All of us have committed sin, Paul says in Romans 3 and verse 23. And so in Romans 1 and verse 32, it says, although they know the ordinance of God, and that's me. I knew the ordinance of God from a time in my youth. I don't know when that time came when I actually became accountable to God, but there was a point in time in my life when I knew that what I was doing was an offense to God. And so although I knew the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. That was me. And it's to some extent, to some degree, that's every single one of us. We are unworthy. In fact, what we're worthy of is death. That's what I deserve. And that's what the thought that came to my mind when Joey brought that to me and said, I want us to think about how we can be worthy to stand in the presence of God. And I immediately rejected that idea. Because I know what the scriptures teach about that. I'm not worthy. And what I am worthy of is death. And then it occurred to me the prodigal son was another good example of this very idea. Notice in this story, this parable of the prodigal son, he leaves his father and goes away and spends all of his inheritance on worldly things, engaged in all kinds of sin. And when he comes to his senses, he repents and he turns back to his father and he comes to his father and says, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. And Joey made the point that that implies that there was a point in time when he was worthy. I am no longer worthy. God created us good. And then there comes a point in time when we become unworthy, no longer worthy to be called God's son. And so that's all of us. Because of sin, we're all unworthy. Now let me show you a few other passages. 2 Thessalonians 1 and verses 11 and 12. Isn't this interesting? Paul says, to this end, we always pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and may fulfill every resolve for good and every work of faith by his power, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God makes us worthy. He's the only one who can make us worthy, because only in God can we receive the forgiveness of our sins and the problem be resolved. And so as a result of that, like we've been talking about all morning long in our Bible study and then also in our worship this morning, the idea of our response to the grace of God. We're going to glorify God in gratitude. We're going to be grateful and reverent and in awe of the great solution to the problem. We can't stand before God. We can't stand in his presence. We're unworthy. We don't have clean hands. We don't have a pure heart. Not in an absolute sense. So what is the psalmist talking about then when he says, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? He who has clean hands and a pure heart and who does not swear deceitfully. Well, that must not be referring to perfect living. It must not be referring to sinless behavior. It must be referring to the fact that God has cleansed our hands and God has purified our heart. He has made us worthy to stand before him. And I want to continue with that thought in just a second and develop that a little more fully. Revelation 3 and verse 4, this kind of begins that development of that thought, that God is the one who makes us worthy. Revelation 3 and verse 4, in this case, Jesus is telling the church in Sardis that they're dead. That's a dead church, and they need to repent. And yet he says, you still have a few names in Sardis, people who have not soiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Now I want to ask you, is he saying that these people never sinned? And you know the answer to that. He's not saying that, is he? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So there must be in this connection then God making them worthy. They have not soiled their garments. They have clean hands and a pure heart. And they will walk with me in white. Why? Not because they're perfect, but because God has made them perfect. God has made them worthy through the blood of the Lamb. You see, these are Christians. These are people who have obeyed the gospel of Christ. These are people who have gratefully received God's grace. And the blood of Christ has covered their sins and paid the price for their sins. And so they can walk with God in white because God has made them worthy. Now, here's the fuller development of this where I learned something. Look at those passages. I already referenced them this morning. In Colossians 1 and verse 9, Paul is praying for them that they would walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 12, he's charging them to walk in a manner worthy of God. In Philippians 1:27, he says, only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In Ephesians 4, verses 1 and 2, walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. So in what sense are we to obey those commands? What does that look like? What does that mean? I'm not worthy. Are you asking me to do something that's impossible, Paul? To walk worthily? I know I'm not. So I don't think that's what Paul's asking me. I think what he's asking me, and the way the word is used throughout the scriptures in regard to us being worthy, is that we are understanding the value that God has placed upon us by the price that he paid through his Son. And so you walk worthy of the price that God has paid for you. God has placed this value on you. God has sacrificed his Son for you. Walk worthy. You owe that to God. Look at the price he's paid for you. You walk worthy of the gospel. You walk worthy of the calling. You walk worthy of the Lord for what he's done for you. You recognize the value that God has placed upon you and made you worthy by looking at the price that he paid. So how should you walk then? With that kind of reverence, with that kind of awe, with that kind of gratitude, with that kind of humility, that's the way you should walk. And you owe that to God. You walk worthy of him. And you think like that. And you pray like that. And you live like that. Because you recognize the price that God has placed upon you by the price that he paid for you. So, how can I possibly walk worthy of the gospel? I want to come back to the idea in Psalm 24 that we started with, where the psalmist said, the ones who can be in God's presence, ascend to his holy hill, are those who have clean hands and a pure heart. Look with me in James chapter 4, please. James chapter 4. And James, in the context here, is talking about those who are adulteresses because of their friendship with the world. That couldn't be you, could it? That couldn't be you. Are you an adulterer? Do you have friendship with the world? Instead of submitting to God, instead of valuing the price that God has paid for you, instead of walking worthy of the gospel, are you an adulterer because of your friendship with the world? And so James says, God is opposed to the proud, because that's what's going on there. You're proud. You're arrogant. God has paid the ultimate price for you and placed a value upon you and made you worthy because you are unworthy. And now you're an adulterer. Now you're friends with the world. You're proud. You're arrogant. And that's what God looks at. He looks at our hearts. He looks at our lives as they reflect what's in our hearts. And so there's a lack of humility, James says. He says in verse 8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. He's talking to Christians. Is he talking to me? Am I an adulterer? Am I a friend of the world? Do I not value what God has done for me? Am I not walking worthy of my calling? Am I not walking worthy of the gospel, worthy of the Lord, worthy of God? Why not? Because I'm arrogant. Because I'm selfish. And because I will not submit. I will do it my way. I will live the way I want. And I will deceive myself. And that's the real danger. I will deceive myself into thinking everything's okay. I go to church. Hey, I'm a preacher. I go to church. I pray. I don't commit murder. I'm a good guy. And I deceive myself because I'm a friend of the world. I'm an adulterer. I don't place the value on the sacrifice that has been made for me to the point where I'm willing to humble myself before God and cleanse my hands. I'm not willing to totally cleanse myself because of what I want. What I want. I'm an adulterer. I'm friends with the world. You see, that's what I've got to be assessing. As Joey and I were discussing this, we talked about how important it is for us to evaluate ourselves all the time, to really assess ourselves. Are we placing the value upon us that God places? Are we walking worthy of the gospel of Christ? Or are our hands dirty and our heart impure? And so it always comes down to what Jesus said. It always comes down to what Jesus said about in the parable of the sower. He said, you're not going to understand any parable unless you understand this parable. And what this parable of the sower is all about in Luke chapter 8 is as he enters into the parable, as he finishes the parable, he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So the parable of the sower is about the word of God being sown. And it goes out and it falls on the wayside soil and the devil comes and gets it before it even has a chance to bear any fruit. Then there's the rocky soil. It's so shallow that when persecutions come and testing comes, it has no root and it doesn't produce any fruit. And then there's the thorny soil where the cares and the pleasures and the desires of this world overcome and it's received with joy. But then it's overcome by the thorns of the pleasures and the cares and desires of this world. And so Jesus would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So the word of God goes forth. It goes forth and we receive it with joy. But then it it doesn't bear fruit. Why not? Because of the way we heard. We heard and we did not do. And that's an emphasis all throughout the scriptures. The parable of the flood that comes upon the man who built his house on the sand. What's that all about? There's a man who builds his house on the rock, and the floods come and it stands. And there's a one who builds it on the sand, and the floods come and it falls. It's destroyed. And great is its fall. What's that all about? Well, if you look at the story in Luke chapter 7, it's all about how you hear the word of God. The one who hears and does is the one who builds his house on the rock. And so you see, it's all about hearing and doing. We hear, and that's what I'm getting at here with myself, and all of us need to evaluate ourselves. I hear the word of God all the time. You hear the word of God all the time. You do. Are you doing it? That's something you have to assess. Because there might be something, there might be one thing, there might be something you absolutely resist, and you're not going to change, and you're not going to give in, and you're not going to submit. In fact, you're going to deceive yourself into thinking that it's okay that you don't. That's the problem. I've got to have ears to hear and do and not deceive myself. John 13, verse 17 talks about the blessing that comes when we know these things and do them. And in that context, Jesus is talking about serving. He just washed the disciples' feet. Blessed are you if you know these things and do them. Well, I know these things. I know them. The question is, am I doing them? And so it is with the clean hands and the pure heart. I'm going to stand before God, not because I'm worthy to stand before Him, but because He makes me worthy, because I do my part in submitting and cleansing my hands when they're dirty and purifying my heart when it's unclean. And so in Psalm 24, He talks about the blessings that come to the one who does that. In Luke 6 and verse 46, Jesus was very pointed. He said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things which I say?" I've got to evaluate that. Is there something in my life that I refuse to do because I don't want to? Something I refuse to do, or something I refuse to give up, or some attitude of heart that I refuse to correct? And I justify myself, I deceive myself. 1 John 2 and verses 4 through 6, John gets at this very point. He says, "Whoever says I know him," that's me, "whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments, well, he's a liar." That's what John says. He's a liar. I'm not a liar. Or am I? Am I walking worthy of the gospel? Or am I refusing to mourn and weep over my sin and refuse to give up what I know is impure and unrighteous? Change my heart, change my attitude. Forgive the brother I know I need to forgive. Stop deceiving, stop lying, stop cheating. Do business honorably. Stop telling little white lies to protect myself. In other words, am I willing to humble myself before the Lord? Whoever says I know him but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. And I'm not trying to beat us all up today. I'm trying to beat myself up so that I repent if I have things in my life that I need to change. And so if that helps you to be walking worthy of the gospel, then the message is effective. If you have ears to hear, then you will evaluate. You'll think. You'll submit. you'll correct. And then you'll be made worthy by God. And that's what you need, because you're unworthy to stand before Him without clean hands and a pure heart. And only He can make you that way. And so I'll close with some thoughts. James 1, verses 22 through 25, I think applies here. It fits very well with what we've been talking about how we hear the word of God. James 1 and verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only. But then notice what he says, deceiving yourselves. That's what I've got to be careful of. I need a pure heart. I need clean hands. I can't afford to deceive myself into thinking that I'm okay when I have sin in my life that I'm unwilling to change, or things that I'm not willing to do that I know are God's will. I don't want to deceive myself. And so be hearers and doers, not just hearers only. And so he says, if anyone's a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at himself and goes away, and at once he forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's a very important passage, because I have done that. I know I've done that. Numerous times. I've looked into the Word of God. It's shown me who I am. And I've walked away and I haven't made a change. I've done that. Numerous times. So you think that can't happen? You think that doesn't happen? You think you're not susceptible to that? I'm thinking of people that I know presently, right now, that I've been trying to work with, that I believe are doing that very thing. Because they'll tell me, I know what it says. I know the truth. I know the truth. And then, where's the action? Where's the follow-up? Where's the repentance? Where's the change? It's not there. Oh, I know the truth. I know truth. No, you're a hearer, but you're not a doer. You're deceiving yourself. And so I'll just throw a couple of questions out there, just not to explore them with you in any great detail, but these are the ones that came to my mind. My commitment to the kingdom. Is my commitment to the kingdom of God worthy of the calling? Because that's what Jesus said I have to seek first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I want God's righteousness. God has to give me righteousness. He's the only one who can give me righteousness. And so I need to seek His rule in my heart first. I need to seek His kingdom. I need to let Him rule in my heart first. Above all things. And when I do that, I'm going to listen to Him. And then I'm going to act upon what He tells me. You see, when we talk with people about their failure to attend the services of the church, you know what? That's just a symptom. That's just a symptom, just to use an example. We have symptoms, and it might be something else for you. It might be something nobody even knows about, only you know about. It's a symptom of a problem. The problem is in the heart. The problem is you're not valuing the price that God paid for you that made you worthy, because you're not worthy. You need His righteousness. And so I thought of purity and holiness. I think those are our huge challenges. Some of our huge challenges. We all have different challenges. But purity and holiness, certainly in our impure and ungodly world, is certainly a challenge. So I'm going to close with 1 John 3. 1 John 3, verses 2 through 8. Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure. Everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared in order to take away sins. And in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him keeps on sinning. No one who keeps on sinning has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Whoever practices righteousness is righteous as he is righteous. Whoever makes a practice of sinning is of the devil. For the devil has been sinning from the beginning. And the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. See what he's doing there? He's getting you to think about what Christ has done for you that placed worth upon you. Because if you're of the devil, you have no worth whatsoever. You're worthy of death. You're worthy of separation. So my final exhortation this morning is to do some self-evaluation. Some honest, sincere, deep self-evaluation. What do you need to change? What do you need to do? You hear the word of God. Are you a hearer only, or are you a doer? And the reason why that's so important is not because your works are going to get you to heaven, but because your heart of submission to God, your pure heart, is going to result in clean hands. And only those people will ascend to the holy place of God. I appreciate your good attention this morning. You may be here this morning and not a Christian. And so I always close every lesson with an invitation to study the gospel, because we need to know what God wants us to do in order to receive the forgiveness of our sins so that he can count us worthy to be with him forever in eternity. And he's willing to do that. He's eager to do that. You just need to study what he says and then obey his gospel. And so if you'd like to do that, please let us know. And if you'd like the prayers of the congregation, please let us know that while we stand and sing.